Now, there are certainly hopes around at the minute that the peaceful passing of the Orange Order parade past the Ardoyne shops on Saturday morning is a huge step forward in improving relations in the area. Now, an agreement was reached by the Ligonie Lodges and the Crumlin Ardoyne Residents Association, otherwise known as CARA. The priest for the area, Father Gary Donegan, was instrumental in brokering the deal. However, he was taunted by some of the residents on Saturday morning. This is actually part of a video which was sent to us, and Father Gary is getting a bit of stick.
Did the people in Astoria Park get in his shop this morning?
No.
So what affects him? Did he get out of his street this morning?
No.
So what affects him? Did the people of Brompton Park get in on the road this morning?
No.
So what affects him? Did the people of Brompton Park get to your chapel this morning?
No.
So what affects him? So see this entire area, the overwhelming majority, they're opposed to them parades, they're opposed to these people to facilitate them, and they're opposed to parades and listen to decisions. And see you say to be all them people, and you say to the guys that people
That's Dee Fennell, who's a pretty outspoken Republican in the area, having a go at Father Gary Donegan. Father Gary's with us in the studio. Father Gary, I noticed at the end there was a guy along with them who's in an almost apologetic voice said to you, you've got to hear the truth. And maybe his point was easier to listen to than Dee Fennell's, which was pretty aggressive. Does Fennell have a point there in what he's saying to you? Because he had a long list of people who were actually corralled in their streets because of an Orange March.
I think there's a certain irony, Frank, in the fact that I've always advocated the right to protest and in fact have facilitated GARC on other occasions, including with Megan O'Sullivan. And they know that. And they know the fact is that that I was a voice just there, the same as anybody else. My voice happened to differ in theirs. And unfortunately, they were using this kind of platform to shout me down. I mean, which was kind of contradicting their own view about their right to protest, their right to have a voice, when in fact he was a priest standing there. I mean, I'd never experienced, in fact, I go back to 2001 when I walked a gauntlet with the Children of Holy Cross. And I could understand to some extent because of the sectarian divide, but this was within the community. And looking around at the people that were actually involved in that, I've been involved in a lot of pastoral situations with them, and they know that. And I mean, in a sense, is, you know, to shout someone down. Of course, I mean, he has a voice. Of course, people have a right to voice opposition to things, because you're talking about the most contentious piece of space that actually exists. I mean, you're talking about a history there that I'm very, very well aware of and versed of. So, yes, I mean, but the CARA voice was the area that's closest affected by this. Doesn't mean to say the rest of the area isn't affected, but you're talking about the people of Crumlin Road, of Ardoyne Road, and the Deals, as we euphemistically refer to them. And in a sense, they're the people that have to suffer this actually most. Because sometimes, you know, in lazy kind of terms, talk about the Ardoyne shops. People aren't worried about shops, because you could have 1,000 parades can buy shops. A shop can't get offended, or a shop doesn't have a history, whereas these houses and these homes have. So, yes, I mean, the great irony is that I've always said either side of the community have a right, because in a democratic society, of course, they're able to put the vote. But you do it with dignity and decorum. You don't reach the level you reached on Saturday morning. I mean, could you imagine anyone treating a Muslim cleric or a Jewish rabbi or a Christian minister in that way? I mean, I just was a voice. So why treat me, particularly someone that has served them for the last 15 years?
He made the point that people couldn't get to your church because of the Orange Parade. Had you any parishioners complaining that they couldn't get to the church on Saturday morning?
No. And what do you call it? In fact, actually, if people go past the only time that there was ever a situation during, were there since 1869, was actually one of these devices that was placed, a series of four of them over an 18-month period. I managed to get people in, at one stage just 15, but on one occasion, the only person was Father Gareth, the newly ordained, who's been transferred now to Scotland. He had to say Mass on his own after I had stood that night for 4.5 hours with my back to a device, unaware, without the air, having cleared the streets, where the helicopter was shining down a light on me. Nobody came next or near me. And, I mean, the only time since 1869 is actually when that device was there.
So you're clear on that. Dee Fennell's point about people not being able to get to Mass on Saturday morning during that parade is actually not factually accurate.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, there were people who had difficulty getting to shops. There were people that were hemmed in. I mean, and I sympathise with that, because when I actually came out on the street and I stood there, there was a policeman who was obviously relatively new to the thing, and he asked me to stand behind the lines. Now, I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to rush a band or do anything there, and I've done that for 15 years. In fact, in 15 years, I've only missed two parades altogether. And the other fact that I was actually saying to them was, for 2.5 years, including my 50th birthday, I stood on that road protecting young people from ending up with maybe a custodial sentence for rioting, wherever I get there. I didn't see too many of those people obeying and shouting at me on those cold nights.
Have you ever had a reasonable conversation with Dee Fennell?
I know Dee Fennell. Dee Fennell was married in our church. Dee Fennell's child was baptised only in the last couple or 3 months. I actually organised his wedding before I actually went on a sabbatical to the United States. You know, his grandfather, in fact, actually, O'Neill's, the sports company, designed a vestment. It was probably the only time O'Neill's ever did it, a vestment historically. And his grandfather vested me, a legend within the GAA, Jimmy Fennell. When poor Jimmy passed away, even his face appeared on the large screen in Crow Park.
And would you expect an apology for him, considering that you do know him, considering that he did eyeball you and give you such aggressive commentary at that moment when everyone was looking for calm heads?
Well, and the people that were actually around me at that stage, Frank, I've been involved in some very, very difficult times in their lives. They know that. I mean, and that's beyond. I mean, from the moment I went there, I've put my life on the line for the people there. And I mean, and would do it in the morning. If Dee Fennell or anybody in the parish, you know, if somebody got sick in their family or there was a, I'd be the first to cross the door. I mean, I cannot, you know, as a Christian minister, hold any, otherwise it's a complete contradiction. If I met him this morning, I'd shake hands with him and kind of say, do you want to go and actually talk to me sensibly? Well, there's no cameras and no stuff. People, you know, it was actually quite ironic that, you know, pull away from when another man got very aggressive towards me because he loves the limelight. And I was thinking, well, who's using the 15 minutes of fame here? Because they know the door's open all the time.
Do you now have a real sense of hope about the future regarding that specific parade?
I think that, you know, this is a watershed in some ways, you know, but you know, we've always said that if you know, if we could get some sort of a bridge to gap the problem and the situation there. But that's exactly what it is. It's just a platform. I mean, it hasn't resolved parading in the area. The problem in Ardoyne and North Belfast in general is the fact is that once you start to talk about anything, parading, you know, basically it clouds everything. It covers the whole horizon because, you know, Gark or Cara or any residents' association for that matter, I mean, there's issues in that area that are prevalent, such as education, substance abuse, suicide, housing. You know, there's so many things that actually need to be. So at this stage, there's a bit of breathing space. Normally what happens is we end up with these massively intensive negotiations with days to go before the 12th. Now we've got a breathing space between now and then to kind of look at it. And what we need within that community in general and right across the board is confidence building. I mean, to actually build the area up. We don't want people looking and saying, they are down. We want Ardoyne to be what I know it is, a proud place, a lovely place. I'm going to a beautiful part of the country, to Cross Gar. I'm going to be living in a lovely retreat centre. I would quite happily stay in the room that I've been in for the last 14 months with no electric in it. And when I shower, the boy beneath me gets wet as well. It's nicknamed the cave. I'd rather be in the cave. But the reality is that the rules of the constitutions of our order says that I must move on because I've done my amount of time that I can. But I have offices already secured within the area. I'll be there on a daily basis. And the fact is that it is such a special place. I mean, it gets such a poor publicity. And the images that went out, you know, on Saturday, That's not my experience. I mean, I could show you my phone and the messages that have come in, and from all aspects of it. A sense is, to me, it's over. I mean, let's move on now. If I had to take a bit of hassle and take it in the neck from people venting their anger, better they vent the anger towards me than a bandsman or somebody and be involved in a confrontation. I mean, I said I've never shied away from anything before in my life. I wasn't certainly going to do it. I did feel isolated. I did feel anxious because it was very much in your face. I think the sad thing, and it really was genuine, I felt really sad about it, was the fact is that it was even more vitriolic than what I experienced in 2001. And one of the people that was there, actually, his daughter or stepdaughter was one of the children I put my life on the line to walk up and down that road for. But hopefully maybe he'll reflect on that, or maybe his daughter will have a word in his ear.
Yeah, you would hope, if you've been there on the whole journey, and I think it was a difficult morning for you on Saturday morning, but I can certainly see hope in your eyes with regards to the future. The camp and the dismantling of the camp, where are you on that?
Well, I mean, as I said, I every night, including my 50th birthday, was actually spent on that road. And it started off with thousands of people, and it dwindled down to hundreds and then to dozens. And I mean, there was nights there, and I mean, I was getting a lot of abuse. In fact, one policeman said one time, "Why don't you go up to the local place and get yourself a hot chocolate? Because what they're saying to you is upsetting me, never mind you." I mean, it goes with the territory. People say, you know, you're afraid of if you were, you wouldn't be there. The reason that I was there, and the reason I took that, whether from the camp or whether it was from the people on Saturday, is because I care. You know, like, in the end of the day, I use an example one time. I'm a GAA guy through and through, a mad gael. I was at the fine race down to Dublin afterwards. Well, I drove very slowly down to Dublin afterwards and saw a fantastic All-Ireland final. I was at the county final in Fermanagh yesterday, but I also love rugby. I love all sport. And I was walking down Grafton Street one day, having Santa had bought me an Irish rugby coat, and I still believe, I'm only 52, and I still get. And I was walking down the street after Ireland had beat England, and I was just walking Ireland's richest street, past Ireland's richest shops, and at the top of it there's a newsagent's. And I walked into that newsagent's, and it suddenly dawned on me, the average person in Grafton Street in Dublin was more worried whether Kate Middleton would get her figure back, having had George, than what was happening up at Twaddell. And what crossed my mind was the people who were shouting across at me, if they only realised how much I care about them. And that's for both sides of the community. And at the end of the day is, we need to come together as a community, because outside of the area, you know, people think, you know, when you're living in this situation, it's the be all and end all. I've had family members who said to me, right through all of that, me standing there every night with the Canterbury Under Armour freezing and the beanie and all that, and they turn around and say, is that still happening? Because they didn't care.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, because there are so many people who contact us on this program who couldn't give a hoot about that stretch of road, and it could be indeed the touch paper for a crisis, and it could also be maybe a flag of hope, considering that it looks like as if progress has been made. Father Gary, really appreciate you coming in. Thanks for your time this morning. Father Gary Donegan, who's reminding us that he still has an office up in North Belfast.